We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.
And a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone. Hi there, OneRadioNetwork.com. It's a few minutes after 9. Just trying to get my life together here. We're, as I've been telling you, we're working on doing all the gizmos and the geeky things to begin to stream this guy live for you on the website and Facebook and I don't know, places. And so we've been working with a geek fellow video guy. They've changed some things around and so I don't know how anything works anymore. So, but I figured it out this morning and we're up and running. Dr. Richard Massey and Meridian Grace are here. They're here the third, or the fourth Thursday, right? You guys are the fourth, right? You are the fourth? You guys are the fourth? You didn't want to change to the third or anything, did you? I mean, we could do a deal. Or...
maybe that's what's happening if you're talking third now.
That's right. I mean, maybe, you know, we could... you know, cut the tariffs on your products and, you know, do a deal.
Sure, yeah.
Do something like that. How are you kids doing? What's up?
We're doing well.
I just got back from an extraordinary conference.
Oh, I'm just shocked.
I know, but Patrick, this is a totally different kind.
Oh, it's a different one. Okay, well, good. Tell us.
Coming full circle.
What's that?
It was called Coming Full Circle, and it's about really getting into that deep place of opening ourselves to grief and to understanding death and dying and actually preparing to do death doula work with people. So actually being with people as they're leaving the body and finding the beauty in life and actually making death a gift to your family.
Yes,
it was really extraordinary.
Yeah,
and,
that sounds great.
Me wide open. I feel like a totally new person.
Well, you look like a new person.
I'm crying a lot. But it's really deepened the way I look at everything, including, you know, seeing my patients. It's been amazing, the shift in our connecting. So, yeah, it's been really lovely.
Good for you. Sorry, I was just swallowing a pill, an herb. Oh, good for you. That sounds just great. I think it's... I don't know. I think the fear of death is a very deep subconscious thing for most people, and if you can get through that one, that's a big one, I think, and just my own opinion, I think. Doc, do you agree or closer?
I agree, and I had taken the course 2013, and it was great. And just to give an overview real quick, and then we can come back. I'm taking off with my best friend since 12 years old, and we're going to go out to Fort Davis and go to a star party.
Oh, like Nicole Kidman and Natalie Portman, and, you know, Jessica Chastain.
That's the stars I was talking
about.
Can I go?
Because, you know, I'm
McDonald's Observatory, you know.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like stars because, you know, I'm a screenwriter, so I'd like to meet all those people. Oh,
but it's yes.
But it's more Venus and Pluto. Stars.
Yes, going to be those kind of stars.
Well, that'll be fun. Folks, Fort Davis is way west. It's one of the, isn't that, they have a huge telescope out there? Huge telescope?
They do. They have a bunch of telescopes and a big observatory, and it's really dark, and so you can see lots of celestial bodies. And it's in a little triangle with Alpine and Marfa, which is famous for the Marfa lights. They sort of have a Northern Lights kind of phenomenon out there. And so it's a pretty cool place to go, actually. Then recently I was part of a conference on treating pain naturally. Meridian will have somebody she's going to talk with about that. And I just went over my years and all the people who've had pain reversed in natural ways. So that happened recently.
And where was that? Where was that?
That was at a friend's clinic up here in Cedar Park, and it was filmed over 3 days. It was on Facebook, and it'll come out on YouTube pretty soon.
Have you done that work too, Meridian, the pain thing?
Well, I do a tremendous amount of work with pain, with homeopathy. And I was, you know, just when I was at the conference, the majority of the people there have been long-term Zen practitioners. And they're my age and as much as 10 years older. So a lot of them were experiencing pretty severe pain of different sorts, especially in hips and things. Mm-hmm. So they asked me about homeopathic remedies. And I just got a text this morning from one of the people who was in our conference just saying she couldn't believe it. All the meds she's been on for the last 10 years, she was able to go off of them completely, and she has no pain for the first time she can remember since she was young.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's so sweet. When you find the right remedy, that's always the clue, you know, and the key. If you find the right remedy, the body says yes. And, you know, if you don't, it's saying, I need to look deeper, more causal than just the remedy that matches
right.
the symptom.
Yeah, I agree with you, Meridian. This has been my experience so over the years. You know, I've done a lot of homeopathic remedies, but I cannot say one time that I ever really see relief. And it wasn't that the homeopathic remedy didn't work, or I don't think I had the right one, which must be a real tricky thing, right? Must be a real tricky thing.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, I was with a patient. We had a wonderful session, and I was in a hurry, and I slammed my baby toe into a chair. You know, I have no pain right now. And it was really hurting, but I used a homeopathic remedy. Actually, I used two. So, I mean, it was really, it's really amazing when you find the right remedy. They work. And then, you know, I can tell you another other side of the story. You know, I have had issues with my bowels my whole life. I had diarrhea issues ever since I can remember. And I found remedies that matched my symptoms to the T, and they just didn't work. And then one day I was flashing, you know, when I was a young child, almost every day I was taking antibiotics. My uncle was a doctor and we had him around. And I thought, well, why not do a remedy for antibiotics? Even though I haven't taken them since I was 10, I thought, well, what the hell? I took a homeopathic remedy for the antibiotics that I took as a kid. And that was it. That was the last day of my diarrhea.
Isn't that interesting? So, yeah, it's interesting that antibiotics could have an effect for so
for that long.
You know,
since I was 10 years old.
And think of all the probies that you've done. And you know what I mean? In between there.
Oh,
yeah, it's like, come on, that's crazy. Doesn't even make sense, does it?
I know. But that, I mean, the cause wanted to be cleared. And maybe there was some degree of, you know, intolerable, you know, issue about eating or whatever, about digesting my life, that I needed to clear with the homeopathic for antibiotics.
Yeah.
So it was just really interesting.
Well, what did they teach you, Dr. Massey, in medical school about the downsides of antibiotics? I'm sure there was just months and months of classes on that. But you didn't go, probably, because...
That's so funny, Patrick. You know, and I'm just sitting here listening and realizing that how we were taught in pharmacy school and medical school, and we just did the math on how the thing leaves your body after you take it. You know, does it go through the kidney or the liver, and how many hours does it take? Mm-hmm. And the implication is that it's gone. But when we drop a bomb on the gut, it leaves an energy imprint. Mm-hmm. All those little microorganisms that died, it leaves an energy imprint. And listening to her say that, she reversed the energy imprint.
Oh, because the homeo is more energetic anyway.
Yeah,
right.
It removed the energetics of those bombs that were dropped when she was 10 years old.
Yeah. I guess one could argue, too, it's, you know, speaking of... events, shocks, and things like that. German New Medicine and Ray Peet's been talking about it, and so many people now. These could also be kind of an emotional, spiritual thing too, where you're getting a bunch of antibiotics, and subconsciously you know that somebody's giving you stuff that you don't really need, kind of thing.
Yep.
Right.
There'll be that, and you know, and the perspective I learned was in the recall healing is that those microorganisms in our gut are who carry a lot of our family story.
And Patrick, just so you know, the German New Medicine that you're talking about is the foundation of the work that Richard's doing with Recall Healing.
Oh, I understand. No, I do. Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, he just uses other tools to help people clear things out.
It's real similar. I mean, it's on the same idea, right? Of figuring out the initial cause or shock or bomb.
Sure. So, like she did, Meridian did the Woodstock thing with her homeopathic. She turned the bombs into butterflies.
Huh? I like it. Bombs into butterflies, and she didn't even take any, you know, like LSD. So it was good.
No, I didn't. I mean, I did once in my life.
Well, I mean, yeah. I wonder if all those weird things we took when we were kids have signatures here in our bodies that are still helping us be crazy. I mean, that's possible.
Oh, now that's an interesting thought, Patrick.
Yes.
We're going to go to the homeopathic lab here and do some more work.
Yeah. But you know, you all.
Believe it or not, Patrick, things like that, not so much LSD, but things like psilocybin and all of that, there are profound homeopathic remedies that have been recognized for like 200 years.
Oh, you mean to take away the signature and the energy bombs from those things?
That's right. Wow. That's right.
Why not? And,
why not?
Yeah, why not? Exactly. Well, you know, I certainly had an experience when I did wacky tobacco, I think, a lot. I don't know, maybe just for, you know, somewhere like 75 through 85, 10 years. And I really felt over the last, from 85 to 95 or 2000, it took me a long time to, I don't know, to get my whole soul, mind, body thing straight again. I could really feel it. So maybe that's what we're talking about here. I could really feel something. It took a while. It took me about 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, there's both cannabis sativa and cannabis indica homeopathics, and they have, you know, all the way back to Hanuman's day, he used it. Mm-hmm. And any kind of thing that is a symptom of what happens, if you want to call it that, or an expression of what happens when you take those things, you can use a homeopathic remedy for that. So it doesn't even have to be that you took it. But if you find that you have the munchies all the time and that you have a difficult time focusing and your brain won't, you know, get clear, you can take a homeopathic remedy of cannabis sativa for that one. Indicus is more for a lot of the bowel issues and bladder issues and sexual issues.
And we forget, like I recently looked at a 1908 medical textbook.
Yeah.
And it had four medicines in it. One of them was marijuana.
Really?
It was one of the main medicines in the United States. So like antibiotics, it was used as a medicine. Of course, it did not kill things. But whenever we take a medicine, taking a homeopathic to clear something about it might be a useful idea with any medicine. You want to hear what the other three?
Okay, let me guess.
Okay, go ahead.
Aspirin?
Aspirin was one of them, yes. He gets a prize for that.
Okay.
He's got
I still have door number two and door number four. Let's see. Okay. Castor oil?
No.
I need a lifeline. How about cocaine?
Cocaine is a winner.
Okay, cocaine is a winner. Okay, so does anybody... Okay, let's see if our listeners know the last one, okay? We have aspirin, cocaine...
and marijuana.
Marijuana. This is a 1908 medical book?
Yes.
The top four things they use for healing. Let's see if any of our listeners know what the fourth one could be. No fair Googling it, just you got to know. Takes all the fun out if you Google it. 888-663-6386 if you'd like to be on the show with Richard Massey and Meridian Grace Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. So I wonder, wow, man, the marijuana thing, that's so interesting. So I guess at that point they weren't even, do they say how they were using it, Doc, or what the deal was, or anything more about it?
And it cured almost everything.
Is that right?
You know, they would try it for everything. And in Recall Healing, marijuana is the medicine, the plant medicine of choice when a person is unsure of their identity.
Huh. Really?
So unsure. Who am I for myself? Who am I for my mother? Who am I for my father? Who am I for my country? Who am I for my religion? Who am I for my woman or partner? And it helps with that in some way.
Boy, I don't, for me, it just worked like I didn't even know where I was, much less who I was. I don't know. I don't know about that one, but it's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, it removes the psychological stress. So it's like, oh, hey, man, it's okay to not know who you are or where you are.
I see.
It kind of feels good.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And I suspect somebody giving marijuana in 1908 from a doc is a little bit different from the way we experienced it, right? I mean, yeah, it's a little different, the setting and the, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So did they smoke it? Did they say that they smoke it?
You know, I don't remember. I remember being in such shock when I saw the book of the four medicines and the blatant racial prejudice remarks.
Really?
That were in it in case you treated any African-American people.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, I won't even say some of them. And this was in a 1908 medical textbook. A friend of mine was renovating a house of a doctor that had died, and he had that book in his house. Yeah, it was a time after the homeopaths were already getting kicked out, and the Rockefellers and the Farbens. This is all from Burton Goldberg's book.
Oh, the Fabians, you mean? The Fabians?
Yeah, yeah, those guys.
Those guys, yeah.
First to kind of look disfavorably on the homeopaths and herbalists. And of course, that violates the herbal charter under Henry VIII, but apparently nobody used that in the courts or could prevail with that. So
Henry had an herbal charter, did he?
Oh, man, the herbalist charter. You should look that up and read it.
Oh, I will. Henry VIII, huh?
This is under Henry VIII, and I'm imagining he was busy with Anne Boleyn when they wrote it up.
You think? I would have been.
He was distracted. But it says from here forward in time, no one in Great Britain or any of its colonies may take their money that they get from medicine and surgery, which have poor results.
Really?
That was actually in there.
Mm-hmm. Poor results. Wow.
They may not use that money to persecute natural medicine practitioners.
That's what they needed to use the money for.
That's what all the money was for. So when people made their living from fake medicines and surgery, they made a lot of money but had terrible results, even back in King Henry's day. But they would take that money to persecute the herbalists and the homeopaths so that they could not make a living. Many of them were put in jail. Some were executed.
Hmm.
And he said, you know, you just can't do that anymore in Britain. So, and that's actually part of our common law since we started out a British colony. So the herbalist charter actually applies to our world today, but as you can see, it's not enforced.
Hmm. Boy, look at the big brain on Rich. That's a line out of...
He definitely has an incredible brain and memory. Patrick, I wanted to mention, too, that in almost all the major medical libraries, if they have old books, there are more books on homeopathy in like the last 200 years than anything else written by medical doctors filled with actual case studies, all on human beings, not on petri dishes, not on animals, but actual case studies. So, you know, at one point all of this was pushed down. And it's so amazing to me that people like the Banerjees have come to major institutions of research around cancer and said, give me your patients you cannot get anywhere with that are dying. They've given them homeopathic treatment for numerous different forms of cancer, and in many cases have completely turned around their cancers or at least given them great palliation. And none of that information is available to the doctors in their research labs. And it's not out available to anybody.
Yeah.
You go to places like MD Anderson, where the Banerjees have taught. None of the doctors know about the homeopathic results they've had. I mean, it's just shocking.
It's just shocking. I know.
Where's a leader like Henry VIII? You know?
Yeah.
We're a good distracted leader that we could...
There was one episode in... I don't know if you all saw The Tudors. That was about Henry VIII, the Tudors. Yeah, I think there was about 6 or 7 seasons. Pretty trippy thing. And he got poisoned at one point. And I think one of his... one of these people that used to... One of these herbalists that used to... She just used charcoal.
Yeah, charcoal.
Remember
would be
that?
Exactly,
yeah, she shoved
right
his
off.
Mouth all the way down with charcoal and saved him. Yeah, I thought that was...
And so just to recall healing peace... When I told Joubert Renault that I had been to pharmacy school, he whipped around and he said, "Who in your family was poisoned?"
Oh, really?
So that's out there for anyone who's in pharmacy school or is a pharmacist. Uh-huh. The family typically produces pharmacists when someone was poisoned.
Couple answers on the fourth thing from 1908, the fourth remedy, mercury.
No, mercury wasn't the one in this book.
We got another one. Is it castor oil?
No. Should I give a hint?
We got one more, and then you give a hint. Animus.
No. We had cannabis, and we have cocaine, and we have aspirin.
Yeah.
But there's one more, and here's a hint.
Okay.
It was manufactured by Bayer.
Well, Bayer. Glyphosate. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
Manufactured by Bayer.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Of course we have the aspirin. I thought that's a Bayer thing, right? No?
That is. That's a Bayer thing.
So they had 2 out of 4. Bayer had 2 out of 4?
Yes.
Bayer. What else did...
I know, but I'm not going to say.
What else did Bayer make? Okay. Well, we'll see if anybody else knows. We'll just have some fun with it. Stay right there. Richard Massey, Patrick Timpone. OneRadioNetwork.com. How's your toothies look? One of the fun and easy things we do with this Pearlseum product is brush our teeth with it. But as we look deeper into this product, taking it internally is really kind of magical.
Calcium metabolism basically affects the whole metabolism and also your whole energetic systems. Literally, the calcium is the powerhouse for our energy, and it also carries the energy everywhere. So whatever we do, you know, either thinking or doing any work, it's all, you know, calcium is a carrier to put, you know, get the energy over there.
And recently we had a Professor Paul on our show on the electromagnetic fields, and he explained very clearly how these things were interfering with the proper calcium getting into the cells.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I completely agree with his research, because everything is actually a field, you know, vibrational field. Even our body is a field. And also pearl can really, you know, really alter the whole vibrational field, because it has this crystalline structure. And this crystalline structure carries the most positive energy and also information and matter. And so when it gets into the body, it has changed the completely vibrational field. So it can heal us at a very deep level.
Well, Dr. Rulin Shu, we love the sound of that. Heal us at a deep level. Why not give it a try? Click on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. You'll see the ad, Green Container Pearlseum, OneRadioNetwork.com. I think you get a really nice discount, too, when you buy 2. Put one in your bathroom and one on your sink in the kitchen where you have your stuff, and then take it internally. Dr. Ray Pete, he's been about 83 around the sun, and amazing amount of research, pretty contrarian to most stuff. You could talk to Dr. Pete, and I mean, he loves milk, and of course 99 out of 10 natural guys out there today are saying the milk will kill you, you know. But anyway, that's just an aside. But he's pretty contrarian with a lot of different things because of the research, you know, all kinds of things. But we were talking about calcium, and then I mentioned the pearl that we, and he confirmed that exactly what she was saying, that that's the right kind of calcium. I think he said carbonate with pearl, calcium carbonate. Not sure, But a living source like that was just the right thing to get the calcium into your little ATP thing and your little energy bunnies. So that was a pretty interesting kind of confirmation from a guy that we have a lot of respect for. We were talking to Wayne Blakely, the Living Streams guy, and he told us some interesting things about sulfur.
When we eat the glyphosate, and what it does, it inhibits the plant from uptaking any minerals and nutrients from the soil.
Right, right.
And the plants die. Okay, so that's what it does to us. When we eat the glyphosate, exactly the same thing. It stops the uptake of minerals, and especially sulfur. And sulfur causes people... We're made up of 52% sulfur, take away the water, okay? And we're sulfur beings. We have to have sulfur to keep us sane. We have to have sulfur in our brains to keep us sane. Otherwise, we get manic, you know, bipolar, things like this, and you have to be on drugs. That's all caused from the glyphosate.
Yeah, we've heard that about the sulfur. We've had Stephanie Seneff on from MIT.
Yeah, I know Stephanie.
Yeah, do you? And the whole sulfur cycle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we probably would be eating sulfur every day, whether the glyphosates are there or not, but this is another good reason. People just feel better taking it. Brings oxygen everywhere. You can order sulfur. Three prices, United States, Canada, and worldwide. Email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, if you want to order more than 4 pounds and a discount. Sulfur, organic sulfur. Yeah, it's the real deal. There's no silicone dioxide, nothing else but pure organic sulfur. On oneradionetwork.com. And you give it to your doggies too. Doodle gets hers every day. She does.
Know the source.
The source.
Oneradionetwork.com.
Dr. Richard Massey, Meridian Grace are here, and it is the fourth Tuesday is when they show up via Skype. And if you'd like to be on the show with an email, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and also 888-663-6386. Fellow that you introduced me to, Rich, Dr. Steve Hines, you know, we talked to him not long ago. He's just he's so funny. He's just, man.
Isn't he great?
He's just always into something new. He's just good. You know, it's like, and he was saying that they have been doing quite a bit of testing, albeit anecdotal. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but if not, it's good to mention to people that they're really thinking that the glyphosates do leave the body rather quickly. They're doing this with urine tests and stuff like that. When you quit putting them in, they began to just leave.
Nice.
So that's kind of a good thing. Maybe these things aren't really building up. And of course, nobody's done those kinds of tests. You know, if they're building up in our liver or gizzard or wherever they do those things. Hey, I wanted to ask you, Dr. Massey, about... this came up a few times over the last couple of weeks. This idea that you've taught us about, where we often have symptoms like a heart attack and stuff like that when the body is actually healing or is almost healed.
Mm-hmm.
Can you walk us through that? Because I remember you saying that a couple of times. It always fascinated me, but I'd like to understand better how that could possibly be.
I know.
Because it's obviously counterintuitive, right?
No, it took me the longest time. I thought, no, they've got this backwards.
Yeah, that's right.
I just couldn't get it until I heard the dog stories. The dog stories are what convinced me, because, you know, humans have this strange psychological overlay stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Hammer took these dogs, and he would open up their chest and clamp off one of the major arteries to the heart, and none of them got heart attacks.
Right.
Now, just think about that for a minute. So that kind of shoots the whole theory that a clot causes the heart attack.
Yeah, I've seen the video of that a long time ago. Is it because of the corollary things like Cowan talks about, because they've got all kinds of veins going there?
Well, but they don't have them yet.
Oh,
this guy clamped off one of the major heart arteries, and there's no collaterals built yet. It took 3 months for the dogs to build collaterals.
Oh.
And no heart attacks.
What's up with that?
Yeah, so this has to get into people's minds before we can actually, because we hear this thing, it's like a hypnotizing dogma. Yes, these big clots happen, and you got to put stents in your arteries and open them back up in order to be okay. And it looks like that's not scientifically accurate. And then Tom Cowan, you know Tom Cowan,
mm-hmm.
he's that doctor out in San Francisco, Human Heart, Cosmic Heart, the guy that showed and went over the proof that the heart is actually not a pump.
Mm-hmm.
He's talked about that study that was done with African Americans, a very prejudicial study from our past, where a large number of them were simply watched who had heart artery disease. And the majority of the heart attacks happened in the part of the heart where the arteries were open, not the part of the heart where the arteries were closed.
Whoa. So they just watched them. So how did they explain that?
Because they're black and they don't need medical care. That was the thinking. We're just going to use them as experimental animals. We're going to notice that they have closed arteries and we're not going to offer them anything.
Yeah, okay, but go on. I
he wants to know how they
explain. How do they explain like the
okay,
open?
So yeah. Here, so and here's the other piece. The same dog that gets no heart attack when you clamp off his arteries
mm-hmm.
can reliably be given a serious or fatal heart attack by manipulating its territory. So here's how the experiment went. He was using Great Danes because they are the size of a human.
Hmm.
He found out he could not cause a heart attack by clamping off their artery, so he tried another experiment. And he took a Great Dane out to this nice place, a ranch, gave it steak every day, everything it wanted to eat or drink, and gave it the run of the ranch. After it had established its territory, it put it in a cage and brought in another Great Dane and made this first Great Dane watch the second one take over its territory. And it couldn't do anything but bite at its cage and bark and growl, but it could not get out to contest for its territory. It just had to watch. It would do that for days and days and days, and finally it would simply give up fighting. It was only getting dry dog food and water, and it had to watch the other dog eat the steak and get all the great treatment. Finally, when it gave up, they took the second Great Dane away. They let the first one out of its cage, and it was dead within a few days of a massive heart attack.
Whoa, man.
Because it got its territory back. And so here's how it works. When we're fighting for territory, the brain actually eats out the inside of the small arteries in the heart so that there's a bigger diameter so blood can go through more and we can fight harder for our territory.
Oh, now that makes sense.
When we get the territory back, the brain says, good, now it's time to heal those little arteries back to their normal size. But all healing involves swelling. So the little arteries close to about half their size. If a person doesn't know that and doesn't rest and doesn't take aspirin or natural clot preventers,
not okay.
You'll get a guy who wants to drive 70 through the work zone and there's a collision and a clot. So it's during the healing of the inside of the arteries that the person has the heart attack.
Oh, because the natural process of healing is inflammation.
Yes. So there's going to be swelling. The artery will be smaller than it usually is for about 2 weeks. So if instead of celebrating that the person won their victory and mm-hmm. got alimony or yeah. got their spouse back or whatever, mm-hmm. if instead of celebrating and staying out drinking with their friends, if they went to a spa for 2 weeks, we wouldn't have any heart attacks.
So is it possible to correlate it all to most of these atherosclerosis things with just these few tests? I mean, isn't that a stretch?
So what atherosclerosis is the past battles. And here's how this works. To have a fatal heart attack, a person needs to fight for their territory for at least 9 months.
Wow.
So the longer the person is fighting for their territory, the more severe the healing inflammation will be when they finally win or when they finally stop fighting. Either one of those is a signal for the brain to heal, and it'll do the inflammation. So if you just have a short fight for a territory, man, maybe you get a little twinge of chest pain, but you won't get a heart attack. But if you've been in court for 9 months or more, or in mental anguish for 9 months or more, when you finally win or when you finally surrender and say, I'm just not going to fight anymore, that's when the big heart attacks happen.
And that really lent a lot of support for Cowan's work, right? I mean, it fits right in.
There's a lot of similarities there. I've always wanted to talk to Tom about this because I think it would be a big puzzle piece for him to get this idea that that's what us humans do. So, you know, we all this endothelium and epithelial lining, it's so sensitive, Patrick, to territory and contact.
Wow, yeah.
It actually means nipple. Yeah. It actually means to suck on a nipple. That is the meaning of epithelium and endothelium.
That's what it means?
Yes. They're actually little nipples. They're crying out for contact with mother or great mother. I mean, all of it. Mammals are covered inside and out with nipples. There's even an anthropologist who says we're all just breast walking around looking for each other's nipple.
Makes sense to me. You know, it's funny you mentioned, so Dr. Cowan's going to be on the show next Monday. He's got a new book on cancer. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to clip this little piece that you've just explained all this into a little MP3 and send it to him.
Oh, thank you.
So you see, your little dream of having him hear this, you know, would be is going to be fulfilled. See?
You just, all right.
See, you're such a manifester. You just whipped it right up there. Well, that's pretty fascinating. Wow. So, my gosh. So when they go in and then they do the stents or crack the chest or something, it's obviously, in a lot of cases, just the opposite of what needs to be done. You know, go to Cambuco and drinks with little umbrellas in them or something.
Yeah, something to relax for a couple of weeks after you win your territory back or after you decide it's not worth fighting for, you're giving up the fight. Your arteries are going to be inflamed on the inside if it's a fight around territory.
But so I guess we could take the territory thing to all different kinds of areas, speaking about the modern male. You know, it could be anything, right? Maybe somebody trying to, kidnap his daughter emotionally, or anything like that, yes, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. All of that stuff.
All of that stuff, yeah, that comes with having a family and a job, and yeah. So the territory thing is just kind of ingrained in us.
Well, it is. You know, we're the empire. And colonization and all that's about territory. And so if there's heart attacks in your family, know that your subconscious is very likely wired to see the world and everything in it as a territory. And you may be susceptible. It's not because of the DNA itself. It's because of the perceptual proteins that are on the DNA.
Perceptual proteins have memory?
Yes, they stay on the DNA and they influence which parts of the DNA can express and which parts don't express. So if you get like an event, like a guy comes home and his wife is in bed with somebody else,
whoops.
If he codes the world as a territory, he'll have a heart attack around that. If he's having an affair and he wants to get out of the marriage, he can celebrate. If he sees it as a fall from grace, like his wife was the first person who ever thought he was special because he's the runt of the litter in his family and everybody picked on him, he's likely to get multiple sclerosis because of the vertical fall in his wife's estimation of him. And his brain will say it would have been better if we'd have never walked into the house. So he or some of his children may get MS in their legs. If he feels like he was unprotected, leukemia is the response that will be made.
Yeah.
So it depends on how the subconscious coding is inherited in the womb in the first year of life.
Boy, that makes so much sense. Boy, you really got me because I have seen, as you all know, I've been working on this book, and I've seen how every thought, every feeling, every image is in the body at that moment when you're having it. There's just no doubt about it. It's just in. We talk about mind-body connection. Man, it's just, it's just in there because it is one thing, even though it's separate. So you could certainly see how, with different karmic things from mom and dad and all that going on, how it could place these emotional, spiritual things in particular areas. I mean, you could just see how it would. It's got to go somewhere. So, and Chinese have said, well, the anger goes to the liver and right, the lungs are to, that's a broad strokes. But this really breaks it down even more.
Mm-hmm. Far more.
Yeah, wow. That's pretty, pretty really fun. So this is all recall healing work from Jobert Renaud.
But the foundation of it is the information Rich is giving to you. He's telling you stories from recall healing, but the foundation is German New Medicine. All that information that has been translated into these stories and these experiences is from Dr. Hammer's research, and we have the huge chart, and Richard shows it to everyone.
Oh, yeah, Hammer, yeah, the recall healing thing. Yeah, where he used the brain and he saw where the brain was recording what was going on in the mind and the emotions and the body. Yeah,
it's got to go through the brain. Give him a Nobel Prize someday, in medicine, Dr. Hammer.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Well, I think so. Here's a question. So, what are good foods to eat after a heart attack? What are good activities to do after a heart attack, and what are good things to think after a heart attack? Oh, this person's thinking. Eat.
Oh my. I don't know. You want to talk about foods after a heart attack?
It's really important to look at your biochemical individuality. So it's going to be really different for different people, where your ancestry is from. It depends upon what's happened to your digestion because of any treatment you may have received. It's way too individual to just say eat this.
Right. Well, let's just do some general things. So what could we come up with some foods? By the way, we're still looking for the fourth thing. What could we come up with some foods that we're pretty sure are not good for the heart? Do we have a list of those somewhere?
Well, we could start out with hawthorn is probably good. The most powerful thing for the heart.
That's a good
hawthorn
one. Hawthorn
berries.
Right? That's a good one.
Okay. Yeah. And there is a type of hawthorn berry tincture that's made from the young shoots of the hawthorn tree, which is one of the most powerful ways to get that hawthorn. So, that's highly, highly recommended.
Does that open up? Meridian, does that open up things, hawthorn? Is that what it's doing, opening up?
First, I just know that it's profoundly healing for the heart. And it's something that you can take through all of your life if you know you have a predisposition to weakness of the heart, family issues around the heart. Mm-hmm. You can make tea out of hawthorn berries. That's an inexpensive way to do it. You can take a few drops of a special type of a tincture like... where they use not only the young shoots that they do in Germany to make an extraordinary level of hawthorn, but you can also, use the type of herbs where they will burn the hawthorn afterwards and use the ash. I mean, that is the most protective thing you can do for the heart. But after, any kind of a heart attack, you're going to want to look at what treatments you received and how it's going to be the treatments more than anything you're going to be working around and the biochemical individuality of the person.
Yeah.
So ease of digestion is going to be really important. And as far as, the thoughts, you want to just, my big thing with everyone right now is I'm taking them into a deep place of realizing how we don't listen to our bodies. How we only listen with our heads, with that even the information that we are taking in from us right now, it's very much from the head place. So I'm having people do a process of going really deep into their hearts and creating a deep relationship with their bodies and to start listening and inviting their heart and their body to communicate with them about what they need, and to feel what it feels like when you're in tune with your body, in tune with your heart, when you've actually softened instead of contracted. And like, for instance, Rich talks a lot about how one of the ways you can see the autonomic nervous system's profound effect on us is you go outside and your pupils open, you come into a dark room and they close.
The opposite.
I'm sorry, the opposite way around, right. You go into a dark room, they open because you can relax and be, you know, just receive. And you need to receive even more in order to see anything. And you go into a bright environment and they close down because it's too bright, it's too much. You can't handle it all. So what we want to do is open and soften. People will use the word relax, but there's so many connotations around that. Can we soften our belly? Can we soften our jaw? You know, and you can look at all of the amazing connections.
Heart attack, other than pay your doctor bill.
Yeah, take some drugs. and so for me, I like what Joubert Renault does. He sits and talks with a person until they realize what territory they were fighting for. And then he explains to them how that works. And as soon as the person gets that, they realize there's absolutely nothing wrong with them or their heart. That's the place where I like to start. You are not defective.
Mm-hmm. There's wrong with your body that needs to be fixed.
Nothing wrong with your body.
Right.
You were just fighting for territory for such a long time. Mm-hmm. You won, and you didn't know you were supposed to relax.
Yeah, yeah.
So you do this again, you soften up for a couple of weeks, like Meridian's talking about, you won't have another heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
So you can eat whatever you want. Eat what makes you happy. None of that stuff causes heart attack. You can clamp off a whole artery. You won't get a heart attack.
Yeah.
But fighting for territory and winning or giving up after a long fight is what did it.
Very interesting. Yeah, after years of working on my little burning tummy, that's been my final answer. It's just emotional stuff that I have to be very careful about what I eat when those get combined together, and I control it, you know, just totally control mm-hmm. it. And it's so funny you said that, because just the last month or so I was really saying that, you know, there's really nothing wrong with my stomach.
Right.
That needs to be fixed. There's just nothing wrong with it. There's just nothing wrong. It's perfect. And the last few months I've come to that. It's really interesting you said that, and just, you know, it's just planet Earth stuff, and I'm figuring out how to just do it and not feel the pain, you know? that's what you do. And when
great
you look at
it, communicating to you.
What's that, Marina? I didn't hear you.
It's doing a great job of communicating to you. It's doing its job.
It's doing its job, yeah, and exactly. That's how we grow spiritually, is we have these little things, yeah. The territory thing is pretty amazing. Richard Massey and Meridian Grace, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Could Dr. Massey comment on the rise of ALS cases and what one could do if diagnosed and the disease has progressed? Oh, this is CB in New York.
Okay.
ALS. Dr. Nunley is going to do a whole thing, a workshop with ALS. I need to find that somewhere.
Maybe. Okay, that sounds good, because he would be one who would know,
yeah.
You know, about things that have to do with dental issues, and so there are those, and we've seen those. In the recall healing world, I would have them call Michelle Lamassa Schrader. She's one of Joubert's earliest students and one of the people I ask when I want to know something. She's in Frisco, Texas, and she's also compiling data on ALS, because the recall healing people have folks who have completely recovered from ALS, just like Stuart Nunley,
mm-hmm.
and have been recovered for up to 15 years.
Mm-hmm. CB, that's a good idea. Maybe maybe you could email Doc and he'll give you Schrader's if you're interested in talking to her. Michelle, we've had her on the show. Also,
yes.
CB, from here, from the cheap seats, you know, I would make sure that your whole dental thing is happening, as Dr. Massey talked about, and really go to somebody very good. Make sure you don't have any cavitations, root canals, you know, a metal in the mouth. And then also, you know, don't keep, you know, maybe do an upper cervical person. Find a person that really understands. I mean, so much we're seeing that gets jammed up in the, you know, C1, 2, 3, 4, and that could be a cause of that, you know, right there. You know, you can get having a nerve pinched, you know, if you can find a good upper cervical chiropractor. You know, I'd do those two things and, you know, start there and then recall healing. And
yeah, if I can the dynamic in recall healing is about having severe conflicts with my collaterals.
Who?
People who are lateral to me. Cousins, siblings, fellow employees, that kind of thing. People who are on the same level, spouses and partners, because it's a lateral sclerosis. What the brain is doing is it's hardening the lateral parts of the nervous system, so you can't get on my nerves.
Yeah, I would also think about doing the cross crawl. You know, the cross crawl is where you're walking and swinging your arms, and we do it on the rebounder, and people have had some really, they do it with the autistic kids and have some great, great results with getting their brains a little balanced up just by doing that, too. And you can do that a lot, walk, you know, and phew, that cross crawl. So the left, how does that work? The left knee is up, and then the right arm is up, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of fun.
Yes.
Here's one for you. My 66-year-old husband has been having what appears to be REM sleep behavior disorder. Oh, that's a new one. Well, look, who made that one up? While looking up his symptoms, I read something about this being related to Parkinson's disease. Oh, his exercise daily, eats okay except for a lot of coffee, and works very long hours. I don't know what REM sleep disorder would be. Maybe that he has a hard time getting into REM sleep. Yeah, I don't know. I think the whole REM sleep, I think it's all just been made up. I don't, you know, we dream all the time when we go to sleep, the body. So I don't know. I don't think it means anything for me. So I'd be careful there. I don't know. You guys have any ideas?
I haven't heard of this particular naming. But when you talk about a guy that does a lot of coffee and works hard, the EMDR, the rapid eye movement technique for reducing post-traumatic stress disorder, people make your eyes move back and forth while you think certain things and look in certain directions, and it helps to take care of trauma. When somebody's doing lots of coffee and working really hard, in my world, they're traumatizing themselves. They're responding to some internal image that they have to do all this in order for everybody to be okay, or whatever's driving them. And the person might be just trying to heal fast during their sleep, trying to process as much of it as possible, or not process it and stuff it down further. I don't know. It sounds like a locomotive might be out of down the track there.
Yeah, so, Joy, for your husband, you know, there's all kinds of ways. Doc measured me long ago with the the heart thing? What do you call that thing, Doc?
Biofeedback?
Yeah,
what was it?
Heart map device?
No, the one where we hook him up on the chest.
Heart rate variability.
A heart rate variability test, and maybe you could find somebody who could do that, Joy, for your husband. He might just be in a sympathetic mode when he's going to sleep, and he doesn't sleep deeply enough for his little brain, and somebody diagnosed that, you know, he's not getting into REM sleep, which is, you know, that kind of thing.
Just talking about it.
Yeah.
There's also a really important part of sleeping that most of us don't think about, and that is that we need to be breathing through our nose, not our mouths. And if we're breathing through our mouths, you know, you'll hear a lot of puffing, and you'll also hear possibly snoring, and you might even see apnea. So, you know, there's the simplest way is to put some tape over your mouth when you go to sleep, and then you have to breathe through your nose.
Yeah, it works, but too. It works. Yeah, people do that.
It works great.
Yeah, it works
great.
But
I'm using a little device right now that actually holds my tongue in a position where it can't go back, because mine tends to go back. And it's a little uncomfortable to work with. Probably it's a lot easier if you wanted to use a CPAP machine, but I just don't like the noise of such things. But there's a little device that looks like it has wings, and it's made out of silicone, and there's a place for your tongue to fit in. And they're very inexpensive on Amazon. and you know, they can use your special little Amazon connection and pick up one and try it and go slowly with it. But it's been profound for me. I am so surprised at how much more energy I have in the morning when I use it.
Yeah, because you're just breathing through your nose and you're not. I guess, yeah, people, mouth breathers, I think they wake up a lot, right? And they don't even know they're waking up a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's also working with a good dentist who understands that placement, and they'll give you a device that matches your own jaw placement, and you want the lower jaw to be out further than the upper jaw. So, you know, that can also greatly affect REM sleep, and it's always a great idea to do some sort of relaxation exercise, softening exercise before you go to sleep, where you think calming, nurturing, loving thoughts.
Yeah. You know, you could try, if he does okay with dairy, get some raw milk and boil it up and do some cardamom in there and what else do we, cinnamon and turmeric and nutmeg, and have a little cup of that before bed, and you know, that helps to really chill you out, and don't watch TV and stuff. And you know, I would work with that for your husband and see if you can just help him get more relaxed, and things might just balance out. I'd be careful about just coming up with some word like REM whatever dysfunction and chasing that down. I think, you know, that could be a whole lot more problems than what it's solving. Just my opinion on that. Yeah,
there's also magnesium.
Yeah, magnesium. Right.
And believe it or not, homeopathic melatonin. So if there's, you know, if he's working that crazy, he may have an issue that's going on with his circadian rhythms. And it's amazing how powerful homeopathic melatonin is for that.
Oh, really? What'd you just send me, Doc? You send me some pictures of your Aunt Martha or what?
That was Aunt Martha. And
I like her. I like her.
That was from that little pain symposium.
Oh.
So that, you know, if people see that, they can go online and access some of that information from any of those 15 people if they're interested.
Oh, I see. I wonder how we could get that on our site somehow. Plus, it's sideways.
You know, and I did it real quickly, and somehow I touch buttons on my phone.
Well, maybe when you get off the air, you can try to do it. Because if you do it straight up, I think Sharon could take this picture, and we could figure out how to put
this. Let me work on it.
Oh, you don't have to do it right now, though. Don't. We need you. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Look at this. This person is going to be attending the Healing ALS Conference in Salt Lake City in October. Oh, this person already kind of knew about that. Well, that's great. I look forward to meeting Dr. Nunley. So she was already on it, the ALS question. That's great. So evidently, it's healingalsconference.org in Salt Lake City, Utah. That's cool. Okay, I got to do this one. Stay right there. Patrick Timpone and Meridian Grace, along with Dr. Richard Massey. And if you'd like to be on the show, 888-663-6386. 888-663-6386. We're having a really nice time with this hydrogen machine. It's Brown's gas, and it's a little different from hydrogen, molecular hydrogen. Brown's gas is some dude named Brown, and George Wiseman. This is about his fourth version, kind of like, you know, Apple 2.0, 2.5, and all that of his machine, and it is really has a lot of great features on it. It's got some features that turn the machine off if it's having a hard time and it's getting low on fluids, and because hydrogen is a very, very powerful product, so you want to make sure you just don't go out there and get yourself hydrogen machine at less price that doesn't have these safety features. He has several double redundancy. You can bubble the water and put it in and, you know, drink the water, and then you can breathe the gas while doing yoga or rebounding or just working at your computer. And some really fun things are going on with me. I can feel some, you know, just being more comfortable in my body, more inflammation, I think, is, you know, just kind of leaving the building with Elvis. And also sleep is just really, really improving with this hydrogen gas. It's called the AquaCure machine. Here's a little bit more on it. Here's one of the main things it does. Did you know the AquaCure Brown's Gas machine reduces oxidative stress?
Hydrogen is the world's best antioxidant by a long shot.
Hmm.
First of all, it's 700 times smaller than something like CoQ10, 400 times smaller than vitamin C, things like that. So it can literally go, the hydrogen molecule can literally go through everything in your body and go right into the very DNA and repair it. First of all, you're repairing oxidative damage, but you're also reducing or eliminating free radicals. Now, we're only the bad free radicals, which is another reason why hydrogen is good, because you actually have free radicals in your body that you want to keep. Example, nitrous oxide.
The oxidative stress, is that the main thing that damages the DNA and causes the regeneration to stop, you know, youthing or getting older, immune organs? Is that at the base, George Weissman, of most of the issues?
It's one of the
just
bases,
one of them.
But this comes back to that regeneration thing that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The cells won't regenerate. You won't have stem cells and that sort of thing if you haven't got enough hydrogen.
And if our body is not generating enough hydrogen, we get dehydrated. Dehydrated. Lack of hydrogen. The AquaCure machine, 10% off, promo code ONERADIO. Use the promo code ONERADIO, 10% off in our store, OneRadioNetwork.com. Dr. Richard Ulrey, authority on minerals, talks about gut bacteria, making the vitamins, and absorbing the minerals, how it all works.
We need vitamins from our gut bacteria so we can absorb minerals, and then minerals provide a resonant frequency. And those minerals carry these frequencies into the body, and multiple minerals will give you a frequency that allows all of our proteins to have individual distinct frequencies, giving that three-dimensional structure. This is where Wayne's products, Living Stream, and that's the only primary products I carry. When you do a stool test and it says you don't have any bifidobacteria, well, if you don't have any bifidobacteria, you're not going to absorb certain minerals. If you don't have any lactobacillus, you're not going to absorb certain minerals.
Here's an idea of a couple of the Living Streams you can take for what we're talking about here. The Bifido, Living Streams Multi-Blend, and the Living Minerals. So you get in the minerals, the Bifido, and the lactobacillus. And these special probiotics and minerals are all in human DNA form, and they are living alive. In our store on OneRadioNetwork.com. You know, it's funny, too, about these things. We've been, I guess, about a year or so, and I just keep seeing more and more improvements of every, you know, just little things. You know, the way his tummy feels a little bit in the morning, or just little things. And I think, as Meridian was talking about, the antibiotics, you know, who knows what's going on. And we've all had antibiotics probably somewhere down the road, even when we were kids, it could be still affecting. So these are great products. They work like probiotics are supposed to work. And they have about 10, 14 different ones in our store. You can call Marilyn if you'd like to get more information. Wayne's out of pocket right now. Her number is 360-912-2981. And you can take a lot of them. You can kind of build up and really work through them and have some fun with them. Experiment. The Bifido 2 we're putting in our eye, and some pretty gunky stuff is coming out. Also, Moringa is probably one of the all-time superfoods ever, and Wayne has a quart bottle of Moringa that I've been drinking a lot of. I like that, and boy, it just tastes terrible, but it's the real deal, and you have it in the probiotics so it can help it get in there in all the cells. All the Living Streams products in our store, OneRadioNetwork.com.